Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at messages around the theme of the year, which we said was to come up higher. And in these studies, one thing we've said is that God always intends us to come up to a new level. He always intended his people to come into something better, and that hasn't changed. You know, that's still his heart, that's still his desire. You know, that there's something better for us. Something that we can rise up to. Now it may be, in our walk, you know, if we've got jobs, maybe we always aspire perhaps to something that maybe we don't, but, you know, there's always somewhere we can go. And a lot of people look for promotion, they look for that better place. You know, that's the same with God, you know, He's always got something better for us. Now, we may not always know what that is. And that may not become clear until we actually rise to that new level and then we start seeing everything open up before us. You know, God may not always reveal what's to come. But he wants us to come up higher. He wants us to come up to that new level. And we have to do that by faith. We have to rise in him and then God begins to open up the path and he begins to show us things. And maybe some of us, it might be that if we knew ahead what God had in store for us, then maybe we'd be a little bit reluctant to move and rise. But it's only as we do that in faith and we respond to him and as he calls us higher, he calls us onto something else. Perhaps a change of scenery or a change of position. Or a change in our circumstance. He calls us up, he calls us higher. Then he begins to show us. You know, I was in a meeting a few weeks ago. It was not last year, it was the year before. At the end of the year, I was in a meeting and, you know, I was just praying. I was praying earlier on in the afternoon that God would just minister to me. And you know, in the evening, God spoke, and, you know, the person that was preaching, he didn't know anything about my situation, he didn't know what I was praying, he didn't know what I was asking God about, but he came up to me with a word from God, and he spoke to me, and he says that, you know, God's just going to begin to open up the way before. He said it's like God would open the curtains on a window and let you see out, let you see what's the other side. And he says that's the way God is. That's exactly the way God is. Now sometimes things in our lives, it's like we've got the curtains shut, we don't know what's beyond that, but then suddenly God opens up the curtains and we see everything in a fresh light. And, you know, we think, well, that answers the questions why I've trod the path I've trod, or that's why God's brought me this way. We heard when he says it's wonderful to have hindsight. You know, you can always look back and see where God's brought you, but you don't know where you're going when you're earlier on. But it's always a step of faith that God calls us to come on higher, come out deeper, come on, I've got something better for you. And in this series of teaching that we've been doing, I shared... certainly in the first week, I think I might have said it last week, about this this hotel I went to. We've ascertained that it probably could be in Malta. And it was one of the trips when I was there. You know, as you wait in the hotel on the ground level off the street, and you know, you had to go down a series of steps before you got to the steps to take you higher. Or before you got to the lift. And in that scenario, and this is what I've called the theme of the series of lessons we've been doing, or we've started doing, the first step up is down. You know, if you want to go up, certainly in that hotel, in order to go up to the levels and the higher levels, or the upper floors, you have to go down first to get to the lifts. It sounds strange, and that's just the way it is, and as we've seen over the last few weeks, that's what God calls us to do, because God calls us to take a step down so that he might exalt us. So we've been looking at humility, we've been looking at being humble, we looked at submission. And that's what humility is, it's to be submissive. It's to surrender or to submit to someone that's higher or greater than you are. You know, in work, you submit to your employer. You know, you surrender what you do to him. He pays you a wage, hopefully, and you do what he asks you to do. The employee submits to the employer. You submit to the master. You submit to the person that's greater. A lot of people believe that humility, and they make this out, certainly when they, particularly when they're coming to pray or they're coming before God, they make themselves out to be so insignificant, so low, so unworthy, and sometimes so poor. You know, that's not humility at all, because humility is just to submit, to be submissive. You know what actually that is, when you start saying, well, you're so unworthy, or you're not deserving of it, or you're not, you're so poor, you're so insignificant. You're actually looking at who you think you are. And you're not looking at what God thinks about you. And that is a form of pride. It's not making yourself out to be so big and so great, which we say, well, that's pride. You know, well, I'm so marvellous, I'm so wonderful. It's actually inverted pride. It's saying, well, I'm so low, I'm next to nothing, I'm so useless, I'm just poor old me. And you know, that's not what God wants us to be like at all. That's not humility. And that is pride, but not so big, but it's so low. It's inverted. And God resists that. We read that in our scriptures, which we'll turn to now. We'll turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Because the Bible says, if we humble ourselves under God, he's going to lift us up. He's going to raise us up. He's going to resist the proud, but he will raise up the humble. And 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says this. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt. If we want to go higher, we've got to learn to be submissive. If we want God to raise us up and lift us up to that next level, we've got to learn to be submissive. We've got to learn to be humble. There's another verse which is very similar. And it's found in the book of James, chapter 4. Verse 10. James 4, verse 10. And this verse says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you just backtrack a couple of verses to verse 6 there, it says he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, God resists the proud. He resists pride. So it's no good trying to make yourself out to be so marvellous. Neither is it any, it's no good with God trying to make yourself out to be so low and insignificant either, because God knows who you are. The best thing is just to submit to him and say, Lord, yeah, maybe you're not quite up to something, but you just say, Lord, I just surrender that to you. You know who I am. I just come under your lead and your guidance. I submit, I surrender to you. That's being humble. You know, when you do that, you find God will lift you up. God will raise you up. And things that you've perhaps thought that you weren't able to do, you'll find that he gives you the strength and the ability to do it. You know, God will raise you up. If you humble yourselves under God, he will exalt you and lift you up. Well, tonight I just want to take that a step further. And I want us to look at what's at work, or what the power is at work that enables us to be raised up. We've seen that we need to humble ourselves under God. But there's, and we've read it, we've got the clue actually in both these scriptures. There's something that God gives us in order to raise us up. And we find that, if you want to read, doesn't really matter where we read, I'm open in Peter. But if you're in James, James 4 verse 6 it is, and it's 1 Peter 5 verse 5. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God gives grace, and it's grace that will exalt us. It's the grace of God that will lift us up. It's the grace of God that will take us to the next level. It's not anything of our doing. It's not anything that we can engineer. It's not anything that we can do to try and work it out. It's the grace of God in action. It's God's grace at work. And that's what exalts us. That's what lifts us up. You know, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at some verses through the scriptures that talk about grace and how it lifts and raises up. But first, we must answer the question, what is grace? Because this is a word we use in church all the time. You hear it. There's a lot of words which you might call churchy words, which we may not always know what it is. Well, grace has often been said that it's God's love and favour. That's a very shortened definition of grace. But grace is I just want to give you a little bit more in that definition of grace. Grace is, the Greek wording for grace, which you read through the New Testament, is the word charis. And it means to endue with favour. Kindness, goodness, and blessing. To endue with favour, kindness, goodness, and blessing. Something we see about grace, certainly through the scriptures, one, it's an attribute of God. It's one of God's attributes. It comes from God. You know, grace is God wrapped up. You know, it's an outworking, if you like, of his love towards us. Which is why it's often said it's his love and favour. You know, God so loved us that he so loves us that he pours his grace upon us. You know, something about grace is it can't be earned. You can't, it's nothing, it's not based on our merit. It's not, we can't purchase it. We can't purchase it by good works. There's nothing we can do to obtain grace. It's like salvation. Well, the Bible says we're saved by grace. You know, salvation cannot be earned. It cannot be purchased. It's a free gift from God. And grace is free and unmerited. That means it can't be, it's free, don't have to pay, you can't pay for it. It's unmerited, which means you can't earn it. It's not by how good you've been, how often you go to church, how often you pray. It's got nothing to do with good works at all. It's completely God's gift to you. And something else about grace is, it's the blessing of God. Now don't get confused with blessings. A lot of us ask for blessings. And when we talk about blessings, we think of things. You know, we say, God, I need you to bless me. What we're actually asking God is for something. Might be some money to pay a bill. I need a blessing. I need you to bless me. It might be touching your body. I need you to bless me. It might just be that you want some sort of emotional or spiritual what's the right word? High. A spiritual high. You just want a touch from God. You know, just to get a little bit of excitement in your spirit. And you say, God bless me. Well, you're looking for blessings, you're talking about things. But the blessing gives us the blessings. The blessing produces the blessings. And that's what grace is. Grace is God's blessing. It's what produces the healing touch in our bodies, what produces the financial needs, answers to prayer. It's what produces that emotional, spiritual fervor that we have. The blessing. While we're in Peter, let's just stay in that chapter for a little while. I just want to look at a couple of other verses. 1 Peter 5. We've been reading around verse 5, where it says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Then Peter goes on to write, he says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then he gives us a warning. Because the Apostle Peter here is exhorting us not only to be humble under God, but he gives us a warning here in verse 8 that we should be aware and alert of the schemes of the devil. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he warns us about the schemes of the devil, about the wiles of the, you know, what the devil's up to. He's going about like a roaring lion. He's looking for someone to devour. And then he says, look, what you've got to do is resist him, in verse 9. Stand steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And then he says, in verse 10 here, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What he's going on to say here is that God is the God of all grace. And by the outworking of grace, he's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. Grace outworking in our lives produces that he will establish us, he will strengthen us, he will settle us, he will perfect us. You know, what's that? That's bringing us on. You know, perfect means to mature. It doesn't mean to, you know, we read it that he's going to make us perfect, but that's not the understanding. It's that we will come to maturity. You know, we will grow up. We will come up through the levels. You know, just like a baby. When a baby's born, it grows, it matures. It doesn't jump straight from, it shouldn't jump straight from its nappies to its to adulthood. You know, if the person who's grown up is still wearing nappies, then there's something wrong. You know, there's stages, there's levels that the child has to grow up through. And it's always coming on. You know, the parents are always bringing it on. You know, they teach it to walk, teach it to talk. It might be the other way around. It might be talk first, then walk. You know, it learns things. You know, it's coming up through the levels. It goes up through infancy, toddler, you know, a young child, teenager, into adulthood. You know, it's growing all the time. And that's what the word perfect means. It means to mature. And that's what grace does in us. It matures us. It brings us on. It brings us up through the levels. In other words, we come up to the next level. Grace will bring us to the next level. Grace will establish us. Grace will strengthen us. Grace will settle us. But then he goes on in verse 12. Peter writes here, he says, this is his farewell. This is like the close of his letter. You know, where we would write, when we write a letter, we write either, you know, God bless you, or yours sincerely, or whatever it is, yours faithfully. And here Peter signs his letter. He says, by Silvanus. He's sending his letter by this man, Silvanus. This is the man that's carrying the letter for him. They didn't have a postal service. It wasn't that they stick a stamp on it and shove it in the box like we do. You know, they gave it to someone who actually took it by hand to where it needed to go. And Silvanus was this man. He says, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. You know, what Peter's doing here, he's confirming to those that get this letter, those that read this letter, those that listen to it being read out, the church that it's being sent to. He says, what I've written here is the same things that you've heard from the Apostle Paul. You know, when Paul came preaching, because this letter sent to the churches in, if you read it in 1 Peter 1 verse 1, it's to the churches in Galatia, Cappadocia, or places where Paul went preaching and encouraging the church. And Paul would have gone there and preached and encouraged and taught them, because if you read through Paul's letters, and we're going to look at some of those tonight, he spoke a lot about grace. He taught a lot on grace. And Peter's saying here, he says, what I've written to you briefly in my letter, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you're already standing. You've already been established. You've already been taught it. He says, what I've mentioned is just something briefly, what you've already learned, what you've already heard. So he's just confirming what Paul had declared to them and preached to them. So let's take a look at some of the things that Paul said about grace. And they're all obviously all in the New Testament, because that's where Paul's writings are. And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, we're looking at grace, the outworking of grace to raise us up to the next level, to bring us on, to call us higher. So Ephesians chapter 2. Really, I'm just going to read verses 5 and 6, but I suppose we ought to read 4 to 7, or 4 to 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's a great scripture there. You know, by grace you've been saved. You know what? What's the grace of God done for us? The grace of God has quickened us, or it's made us alive when we were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, when we were in our sin, the grace of God has raised us up. The grace of God, as Paul goes on to say here, says he's made us sit together in the heavenly places. That's the outworking of grace. It's brought us from one level to another. It's brought us from the depths of sin and brought us into the kingdom of God's Son. That's grace. That's the grace of God at work. We say, well, surely that's God's love and God's... Well, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, all pretty much the same sort of thing. You know, the grace of God is God's love. It's His kindness, His goodness. It's His favour upon us. You know, because of the mercy, you know, God is merciful. He gives us His grace. You know, we're saved by the grace of God. We read it there in verse 8. You know, by grace we have been saved through faith. And it says here, it says that He's raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's an outworking of grace. Why has He done that? Because in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace towards us. You know, we've got the whole of eternity. And we still won't grasp all of grace. You know, there's so much. The riches of His grace are so great. He says, he uses the word there, I think it's in this, the exceeding riches of His grace. You know, we're never going to exhaust the grace of God. You know, the old hymn writer who penned those words of amazing grace. He says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. You know, when we've been there 10,000 years, I would struggle to comprehend just a few hundred years. You know, I could think back, well, okay, I can go back 100 years, I can quite grasp that, you know, that 100 years ago that something happened. 200, 300 years, maybe. You know, then we started getting to things where it's getting beyond me now. I can't measure time because, you know, we're only locked into a short span of time in our lives. But when you've been there 1,000 years, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, then 10,000 years, as the songwriter puts it. What about when you've been there? Now, if you're going to struggle with 10,000, you'll struggle with this. When you've been there 150 million years, you still wouldn't have exhausted the supply of God's grace. Because we'll still be learning about the grace of God. We'll still be learning about the love of God. We'll still be finding out things. It's inexhaustible. You know, what He was, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You know, that's the outworking of grace. You know, the grace of God lifts us from one level to another. It lifted us from sin and despair. It lifted us from degradation. And God lifted us up. And as the psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 40, he says this. He says, you know, He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. You know, God lifted us out of sin, out of the mire. He lifted us out of that horrible pit and set our feet upon a rock. If that's not coming up to a new level, I don't know what is. You know, He lifted us from one level, we was down in the pit, and He's lifted us and put us on a rock. The working of grace. Let's go to another scripture. All the rest of the scriptures are in the second book of Corinthians that we're going to look at tonight. So we're not going anywhere else except 2 Corinthians. First one is in chapter 12. Yeah. Corinthians chapter 12. A very familiar verse on grace. We're going to read from verse 7 to 10. Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Twice in those few verses, Paul uses the same statement. He says this, lest I be exalted above measure. What he's saying, he says, lest I become, the word I want to use is the word haughty. Lest I become, I build myself up. It's pride. I become exalted above, beyond what I should be. You know, self-exaltation, as we've seen already last week and the week before, it brings us down. Because God resists the proud. If we want to be exalted, we've got to be humble. We've got to be submissive to God. And what was actually happening here, Paul was receiving many revelations. God was speaking to him. Actually, what he was receiving is what we now have as the New Testament. You know, God was just giving him this revelation and he writing it down. And you know, I suppose in one way, receiving all this from God, it could have made him feel proud. It could have made him have feelings of grandeur or importance, that he was something special, that God was using him to bring the doctrine to the church. And he says, you know, I don't want to be self-exalted, lest I be exalted above measure. Then it says, it goes on that, you know, this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan came to buffet him. You know, this thorn in the flesh, you know, there's a lot of things said about this thorn in the flesh. You know, this was not an affliction or an infirmity to keep Paul humble, as you might hear a lot of people say. Because actually the scriptures clearly tells us what this thorn in the flesh was in the verse. It says, look, it was a messenger from Satan. Now God doesn't send messengers from Satan. God doesn't give those things to keep someone humble. You know, this messenger of Satan came to buffet him, it says. I would guess, because of what Paul is receiving, you know, that God is speaking to him, that God is giving him all these revelations. He's given him what we now know to be the New Testament, or the best part of the New Testament. I would hazard a guess, I don't think I'm far wrong, that what Satan's trying to do is trying to get him to build himself up. But you're wonderful, Paul. You know, God's spoken all these things to you. In actual fact, well, perhaps not quite as pleasant as that. It gets him to focus on himself and not on God. Because what this word, the word buffet here, I looked this up in the lexicon, and it says, the word buffet means to strike with a fist. This is like a punch. This isn't just a little tap. You know, Satan came, he came hard at Paul. It's, the word buffet means to strike with a fist, to mistreat and violently abuse. That's the understanding of the word buffet. not buffet, not spray, the food spray, but to buffet, to strike with the fist, to maltreat and violently abuse. The same word is used to describe the effects of the sea upon a boat. When the waves buffet the boat, it knocks the boat almost sideways. You know, Paul was knocked sideways by this. This was bringing him down. You know, he says it's like a thorn in the flesh. You know, like someone actually sticking a thorn in the side of him. Satan come to buffet him. And what does... He says he pleads with God. Three times he has said, God, take this from me. You know, God, remove this from me. Now, I'm not saying that God didn't allow Satan to come against him, like God allowed Satan to come against Job. I don't understand all the... how all this thing can happen, but God allows Satan to do things, but he gives him restrictions. It's like he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said to Peter, he says, Satan's asked for you to sift you as wheat, but I pray that your faith won't fail. I pray for you. And what God say back to Paul? And Paul says, take this thing. And he says, what do you need? He says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. My grace is all you need to lift you up. Lift you out of the situation. You know, and then at the end of that reading, which we read in verse 10, because of the grace of God, Paul can declare. He says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. When I'm at my weakest, the grace of God lifts me up. The grace of God raises me up. You know, when I'm in distress, the grace of God's there to lift me. Therefore, he can make this step. Don't misunderstand what he's saying. I could take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions. I could take pleasure in distress for Christ's sake. He says, why? Because of the grace of God. Because God's grace is sufficient. God's grace will exalt. God's grace will lift up. And it's God's grace that we need. Now maybe Paul was asking for something else when he asked God to take it away. Maybe we don't know what was on his heart, but all God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. Time's pressing on, so let's just move on. I've got two more scriptures I want to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll go back a couple of chapters. 2 Corinthians 8, just going to read one verse 9. And it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now I want you to forget money tonight. You know, I'm not looking at this with from a money point of view. I'm not looking at it as talking about richness in material things, although that's the understanding of the word rich. If you look it up, it doesn't mean anything else other than material possessions. But it says here in this verse, it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Jesus humbled himself. We read this in a couple of weeks ago. Jesus humbled himself and became as a man, so that we could be exalted by the grace of God. Jesus laid aside everything He laid aside his deity. He laid aside his reputation. He laid aside his stately form. He became poor. He became as a man. So that we could become, what's it say? That you through his poverty might become rich. In other words, that we could be beneficiaries, or we could become rich. What beneficiaries of what? Of grace. Says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the goodness. You know the kindness. You know the favor of God. You know the blessing of God. Jesus became poor so that grace could exalt us and lift us up so that we could become rich. There's another scripture which says, he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's the outworking of grace. He became poor so that we could... He took on our form so that we could take on his form. That's what grace does. Now, if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us, the scripture says. But what actually Jesus did for us, he humbled himself for us so that we could be exalted, so that we could be raised up. You know the grace of God, or you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. It's an outworking of grace. Well, in that same sort of strain, we'll just turn over to chapter 9. This will be the last verse we look at tonight. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says here in verse 7, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You know, here Paul's teaching on giving, he's talking about, he's not talking about anything else other than the giving of offerings here. Because what he said, look, he says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will reap. He says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly, nor out of necessity, not being manipulated to give, not being forced to give, not being told you've got to do this. He says, it's got to come from the heart. It's as you purpose in your heart, as you give. Purposeful and bountiful giving is honouring God with your substance. And other scriptures say that if we honour God with our substance, you know, there's certain blessings attached. When we give purposefully and bountifully to God, and it's talking about our offerings, not just our offerings, of course, as we give our time, as we purposefully give, cheerfully, that's purpose. You know, if it's manipulated or if it's forced out of us, then we're not giving cheerfully. It's grudgingly. You know, we really could do with it ourselves, but we feel obligated to do something. That's not purposeful and bountifully. But if we give purposefully, we give bountifully, we honour God, and that's an act of our worship. That's when we come before God, we give him, we give it out of worship to him, out of love for him. And what that actually is, that's submitting to him. That's being humble. That's humility. That's honouring God with our possessions, the things we have. And what's it called? There's a promise there in verse 8. It says that God is able, if you do that, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Those that give purposefully, those that give bountifully, God makes his goodness, his kindness, his favour abound toward them. He makes the blessing abound toward them. That you might abound. I like those words. What's the word abound mean? It means to overflow or to exceed. To excel, to be preeminent. In other words, it means God, grace will cause us to rise up and beyond where we're at. This type of giving causes the grace of God to go to work on our behalf. It causes the grace of God to increase us. It causes the blessing of God to come upon us. It raises us to a new level. Because then it goes on, it says, look, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality. That takes us to a higher level in our walk with God. You know, we'll be enriched. I just like what it says here, that you'll have, in verse 8 it says, that God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you having, always having all sufficiency in all things. Having all sufficiency in all things. That means having everything you need and more. For everything. Well, that's the outworking of grace. It raises us to a new level. You know, as we're going to progress with that over the coming weeks, and what we're going to see is we're going to see how God's grace elevates the people of God, certainly in the lives of individuals. And we'll see how the grace of God causes them to come up higher, come up to the new level, come up to a place that they've never been before. And it's the key word here, yeah, it's about humbling ourselves or submitting to God, but it's grace that exalts. It's the grace of God that raises us up. That will be the key word through the next few weeks. Grace. Amen.